Good morning. We're back to the Book of Proverbs this morning and thinking about ambition. I know many of you have long since retired, but it's worth reflecting on nonetheless. Our text is Proverbs 19, verse 21, but here's a few verses surrounding it. Houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Laziness brings on deep sleep, and the idle go hungry. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Whoever robs their father and drives out their mother is a child who brings shame and disgrace. So it's that verse in the middle. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So I want to talk about ambition. I think it's good that young people want to make the most of what God has given them, and I don't think there's anything wrong with ambition. Let me say that from the outset. In the New Testament, both Paul and James take an occasional pop at selfish ambition, but being ambitious shows character and drive. We live in a society which is increasingly specialised. It will take you 16 years to become a consultant in a very specific area of medicine. But many of us have reason to thank God for the expertise of such experienced surgeons. Over the years, I've spoken to brain surgeons and hand specialists. There are 213 bones in the human body, and a quarter of those are in your hands and another quarter in your feet. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, exclaims the 139th Psalm. So thank God for people who devote their lives to becoming proficient in one very specific area. However, you do get the feeling sometimes that certain people have their eyes less on the work and more on the financial rewards. Certain career paths pay big money. Before Lois had her hip surgery last year, we sought a second opinion on the pros and cons of getting it done. We took a train to Sunbury in Middlesex to see a physio. On the way back, we found ourselves in a road full of absolutely vast properties. I assume they were lived in by the families of bankers and actuaries. Some of their annual bonuses are more than you could earn in 20 years. So if you're bright and money is what you want, getting your act together early in life is the way to go. And if your parents have money, they'll put you in schools where you'll make the kind of friendships that will give you a leg up in life. But all this is a bit of a luxury. Only a small percentage of people can enjoy such returns. In some parts of the world, life is hand to mouth. You don't have a career, you simply go where the work is. Husbands and wives often spend long months apart. Back in 2012, we went to India and stopped off in Abu Dhabi to visit family. The area is so oil rich that the indigenous population don't have to work. The oil is owned by the Emir, Sheikh Khalifa, the ruler of the area, and he was paying each of his people £3,000 a month to do nothing. When the Arab Spring protests kicked off the year before, he even paid off their mortgages in an attempt to keep them sweet. Anyway, the work was being done by migrant workers, many of them from India. We spoke to an Indian taxi driver who was doing two jobs, working continuously for 10 months of the year, and then taking a two-month break to visit his family back in India. I've no doubt he had plenty of other talents and lots of untapped potential. But where he was born dictated what he would do. So I find this verse interesting. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. The Beatles legend John Lennon may not have been a signed-up Christian, but he was echoing a similar sentiment when he said, "Life is what happens while you're making plans." We make our plans, but life takes many twists and turns along the way. You remember Gladys and Louisa, who were members of this church in the early 2000s. Lois and I have tried to stay in contact with Gladys in recent months. Louisa was in fine fettle back in February, an effective secondary school English teacher, but then she caught the virus. She was soon struggling to breathe, was admitted to hospital, placed in an induced coma and put on a ventilator. But she never recovered. She had no underlying health conditions. She had only just turned 63. The implication of the verse is that our plans should not be rigid. We should be open to a change of direction. Over the years, I've heard stories of people who were swimming in the sea and they got caught by an undercurrent. The current was pulling them out to sea and they were desperately fighting to get back to the shore, in the process exhausting themselves and ultimately drowning. There's a line of advice that should such a thing ever happen to you, do not resist the current, but allow it to pull you out until the current weakens, and then you'll be able to find another route back to safety. And I want you to think about that idea. By all means, make your plans, but be prepared for God to take you in a different direction. His plan for you is not the house in Sunbury, a hefty bank balance. His plan is for you to be godly and fruitful in his service. You see, something like this played out in the life of the Apostle Paul. As I've often said to you, in the early years of the church's existence, there were real tensions between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. Paul was clear that faith was about moral transformation. We are saved by faith, not the works of the law. But the Jewish Christians wanted a cultural transformation for the Gentiles, imposing their rituals and customs on Paul's converts. Things like circumcision, keeping the Sabbath, and observing the dietary laws handed down by Moses. The tensions were very real, and some Jewish Christians made it their business to undermine Paul's work. It would have been easy for him to return evil with evil, but instead he did something quite remarkable. At one point, there was real hardship in Judea, and the Jews gave the Jewish Christians a really hard time. Paul might have said, serves them right, but instead he magnanimously organized a collection among the churches that he had founded. He then made plans to return with it to Jerusalem. You can read all about this in the book of Acts, and there are also references to the collection in Paul's letters. He was hoping that this gesture might heal the rift, but in fact it went the other way. He was almost lynched and had to be taken into Roman custody for his own protection. And from there his life took a completely different turn. He surrendered the freedom of travelling and starting new Christian communities for a form of imprisonment. As a Roman citizen, he wanted his case to be heard by the emperor, and he did eventually get to Italy, but so far as we know, he spent his final years under house arrest and never got an audience with Caesar. Life took a very different turn. Some would say that Paul shouldn't have been so obstinate, that he should have listened to the warnings he was given before he left Ephesus for Jerusalem. But that's a bit harsh. Paul was Paul, and obstinacy was both a strength and a weakness, as most character traits can be. No doubt he reflected on it. If he had listened to advice and travelled west from Ephesus instead of east, his life could have looked very different. He might have spent less time in prison. Then again, he might not have written so many letters and our New Testament might have been thinner. 9 years ago, I took the funeral service of a friend to whom I owed much. Roy Dory had been a mentor to me for 20 years and was a member of our previous church. He had trained to be a Baptist minister himself back in the late 1950s. On leaving college, he had taken charge of a church in North London and while there, heard God's call to mission work abroad. He resigned as a minister, and then on the eve of leaving the country, he was suddenly informed that he could not serve abroad because he had suffered with childhood asthma. When he and his wife sought God's will for the next step, they were guided to Barnardo's, and they ran a children's home in Dagenham for a number of years. One of the most difficult things was that the college that had trained him reacted as though by leaving the ministry, he had fallen from the faith. Later, he set up a school in Dubai for children with disabilities, then founded a bereavement service in Bromley, and finally became the chaplain of a Roman Catholic college. When asked in one interview about his career path, he said, "I clearly haven't got one." And as I prepared his funeral eulogy, I reflected on those words of Jesus in John 3 about the Holy Spirit. "The wind blows where it chooses. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going." Roy allowed that wind to take him in some unlikely directions, and many like me are grateful that he did. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Life is so much richer than we perceive. It's not just about scoring good grades and getting to the right university, not just about pursuing a career and getting married and having a family, not just about feathering your nest for a luxurious retirement. God has his plans, and who knows where those may take you in the future. When your grandchildren ask, have you been a Christian all your life? You can honestly say, not yet, because none of us knows when the last page will be written. Life is an adventure waiting to be embraced. And more specifically, life is God's adventure. Let the current of Jesus' Spirit take you where he wants you. Jesus' own career path doesn't make a lot of sense to the average person. From initial popularity to increasing hostility, from a prejudiced trial and a sickening beating to a humiliating death. But strangely, this was God's will for his life. And John, in his gospel, plays with our ideas of success and reminds us of Jesus' words. I, if I be lifted up, will draw all people to myself. Lifted up? Did he mean crucified or glorified, or did he mean both? God's will can be a mystery, and our measures fail to do it justice. As a 75-year-old man, Abraham embarked on an adventure that would transform history. As an 80-year-old man, Moses picked up the pieces of his unremarkable life and placed himself at God's disposal. You don't have to wait that long, but the possibility remains there until the day that God calls time on your life. Be ambitious, but be ambitious for the Lord Jesus and his kingdom. At Roy's funeral, I read a poem that he had written. Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me whatever you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I am ready for all. I accept all. Let only your will be done in me and in all your creatures. Into your hands I commend my spirit. I offer it to you with all the love that is in my heart. For I love you, Lord, and so want to give myself, to surrender myself into your hands, without reserve and with boundless confidence, for you are my Father. Amen to that.